So today, I would like to share a little bit about the Apostle Paul's revelation into the uniqueness of every single part of the body. And before I actually get into some of the scriptures to begin to support what I'm going to be sharing with you, I'd like to give you a little bit of context. And when I, back in 1989, quite a while ago, I was dealing personally with some issues in my life. I was the father of five sons. And I found myself at times being overly critical and hating the things that sometimes would even come out of my mouth. And the reality of what I experienced as a young man was that by the time I left my home at age 20, I calculated that I had been criticized over 10,000 times and yet had never received a single word of affirmation. And as a result of that, I had an inability to actually give that affirmation. And as a result, I decided that I needed some help. And the way I was going to do that is I did some research and I decided that I would try to find 8 or 9 other people to join me to go through a Christ-centered 12-step program for people in relational crisis, because that's the way I saw what I was dealing with. And so the church I was at, I got this permission from the senior pastor, and we made a brief announcement that this was going to happen, and I was really hoping, you know, I would see 8 or 9 people show up. Well, the first night, 28 people showed up, which felt, whoa, this is too much. But what I said to them, I said, you know, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be going on a journey that's going to require vulnerability, transparency, and accountability. And so I know we're going to have a big dropout. And so we'll probably get down to that nice small group. And what happened was I gave it 3 months, and after 3 months, there were then 150 people in that room. And I'm a little slow, but I kind of caught on, said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create 15 groups of 10, and the leaders of those groups will be my group. And so we began. By the end of that first year, I still remember that last week, there were 423 people in that room. Over the next 10 years, over 7,000 individuals went through that Christ-centered 12-step program for people in relational crisis. And I had a privilege to not only be a part of that, but one of my greatest privileges was we met on Monday nights, and every Monday night, after I would do a curriculum presentation, I got to sit and listen to people's life journey, what brought them there. This was a group that, in order to get into a small group, you had to first go through 6 Monday nights. And in those 6 Monday nights, every person there would share their personal journey. What brought them to need new life? And what emerged, of course, every person's story was unique, yet there were commonalities. And one of the commonalities of everyone's story was really the process of how they lost their authentic identity. And they lost it because they were in a state of severe deprivation of authentic affirmation. They had received affirmations throughout their life, but only when they did what other people wanted them to do. As a result of that, They wanted affirmation. They wanted acceptance. So they tried to be what everybody else said they should be. And they became to begin living out of a sense of false identity. Now, identity is a very powerful thing, because identity is really how we make our life decisions. Our sense of identity is how we treat other people and we allow other people to treat us. Our sense of identity determines oftentimes who we may even choose as a spouse, what type of career, what type of college courses. It affects almost every decision we make. And when you're trying to be someone you're not and live out of that false identity, the decisions are just as dysfunctional. And the beauty of that experience was this revelation of how do we rediscover our authentic self. And this is where I would like to share some scriptures. So if we could have the first scripture here. So Jesus is telling us in Matthew 5, 14, 15, you are the light of the world. Then he says, now a city built on a hill cannot be hid. And no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but rather on a lampstand, so that it gives light to all in the house. And of course, he's giving us an analogy. And so with the next slide, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And that's going to be a real key thing for us to be thinking about, to see your good works. What we're going to discover is that each one of us have unique good works to offer. Okay, next slide. Now, the book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. It was through the book of Ephesians I had my conversion experience. And as I read through the book of Ephesians, what all of a sudden came together for me was how the body of Christ was to function, what church was to actually be. Go to the next slide. So, chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. Now, there's a lot in that one sentence. He chose us before the creation of the world. What the Apostle Paul is telling us through the revelation of the Holy Spirit is that God knew each and every one of us before anything existed. Before the foundation of the universe, God knew who we were, who he had created us to be, and what he would call us to do. And then back to that previous slide. So those two words, holy and blameless, that can be a little intimidating. We're called to be holy and blameless. What exactly does that mean? Well, the Greek word that the apostle is using for holy means specifically to be set apart for God's purposes. All right? So this is God who is setting you apart for his purposes. And that word blameless, which can sound like perfection, the Greek word, what it's really talking about is living a life beyond reproach. What that means is that we're living our lives in such a way that our fellow believers would not have to come and confront us about a behavior that's inconsistent with our Christian walk. That's the essence of what that Greek word really means. Okay, next slide. So, again, when most people hear holy, they think piety. And then I've kind of walked you through that. So we'll go through the next slide here. Okay, and we'll go to there. There we go. All right, so in chapter 2, one of my favorite scriptures, for we are God's workmanship. The Living Translation says, for we are God's masterpiece. If you are God's workmanship, how wonderful, how marvelous are you really? You know, King David articulates how wondrously we are made, each and every one of us. You are an example of God's workmanship. You are a unique masterpiece. And what you're going to learn in the coming weeks, unlike anyone who's ever been created before or ever will be created again. And we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. There's that good, letting our light shine. And now the Apostle Paul is talking about the good works that we will do so that our light will shine. But it goes on to say that God prepared in advance for us to do. The Apostle Paul is talking about the fact that each of us have specific good works that God has planned in advance. How far in advance? Before the foundation of the world. Each of us are uniquely created, perfectly so, to do exactly what God has created us to do. All right, next slide. Now, first part of this statement. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that God can do more than we could ask or imagine? Yes? Amen? It's the second part we struggle with. According to his power that is at work where? Within us. Oh. Wow. That's something really to begin to ponder. So, according to the power within us. And again, the key is, what we're going to learn, again, is that this is all grace, but we have access to power beyond our imagination. Okay, next slide. Now, the reality of it is, it's not about us, it's about him, but we are to be about our Father's business the same way that Jesus was about his Father's business. And so to him is the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Okay, next slide. Now, if this is true, if we have this great power within us, if we are God's workmanship, if we are each a unique masterpiece, if God has truly planned good works that we should do and that we should walk in those, and those good works represent our very light to shine within the world so that the world may know and give glory to God, if all that's true, why don't people use this great power for the church, for the world, for God's glory? Why don't they do that? And what I discovered back in New Life, and what I've discovered since then, is because they don't know they have it. Okay, next slide. Most people don't see themselves as gifted or talented. They minimize their incredible uniqueness. Okay, most people don't understand that God has known them and called them before the creation of the world. They don't know that they've been set apart for his purposes and that they are to live a life beyond reproach. They don't know that. That's an issue of leadership. Okay, next slide. Most people don't understand this is all grace. It's totally unmerited, it's unearned, unasked for, but freely and generously given. And that's such a key aspect. You know, none of us have earned, there's nothing we can do to earn this incredible grace. It has been absolutely given as a free gift. Next. Now, just to point how inclusive this is, In Ephesians 4:7, the Apostle Paul says now, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So two key things here. Now, if it's to each one of us that grace has been apportioned, who was left out? Did anybody get left out? It's to each and every single one of us. And if Jesus is apportioning it, if he apportioned the grace to you, do you think he did that stingily? If that's a word. Do you think he did that miserly? Or did he do it generously? See, I think he lavished his grace on you. Okay, next. Now, here's a really significant aspect here is in Ephesians 4:11, the apostle tells us, now it was he, this is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For this reason, to prepare God's people for works of service, to equip people for ministry. Now, let's look at this slide here a little bit. All right, that word, prepare or equip, that's a really significant word. Matter of fact, when I was a young man, I was part of a Bible study that went on for 10 years. And there were 9 other young men with me, and we sat under this wonderful pastor who invested all this wonderful time in us. And one of the things I so appreciated was he had an excellent understanding of Greek. And he also had a pretty good understanding of Hebrew. And so I came to him one day and said, I really need to understand what this word for prepare or equip means, because I don't think it means what a lot of people think it means. And what I think a lot of people think it means is knowledge. And I think it means something other than that, because it's not just about our biblical knowledge. I love Scripture. I've done numerous Bible studies and taught them. Love Scripture. But it's got to be more than that. And he nodded his head and he said, it is. And he said, the best way I can describe what this word means to you, and the Greek word is katartizo. He said, the best way I can describe this is to give you a word picture. And I said, wonderful. I love word pictures. So he said, I want you to imagine a grizzled old fisherman, okay, sitting on a large piece of driftwood along a beach on a large lake. And over this grizzled old fisherman's lap is this beautiful, intricate fishing net. He said, but life has torn it full of holes. Okay? He said, now, that lake is full of fish. When that fisherman takes that net in its current condition and he throws it out into the lake and he drags it behind the boat, and he pulls it up and brings it in the boat, what is in the net? What do you think is in the net? Not much of anything. He said, exactly, because it does not function according to its creator's original intended design. He said, now, that grizzled old fisherman takes that net and lovingly and meticulously restores it back to its original condition. Now, when he takes that net and he goes out into that lake full of fish and he throws the net out and he drags the net behind the boat and he pulls that net up, what's in the net? There's a whole lot of fish. And he said, exactly, because it now functions according to its creator's original intended design. He said, that's equipping. That's preparing the saints for ministry. Restoring them back to the Creator's original intended design. Okay, now another thing about this slide is we see that so that. Now, when the Apostle Paul says "so that," when he describes something, then goes "so that," pay attention to what came before that "so that," because that only exists for what follows the "so that." Okay, so leadership exists so that, now we'll go to the next slide, so that the body of Christ may be built up. When the saints are equipped for ministry, and again, the saints are each one of us, we are the members of the body, okay? When we are equipped for ministry, the very first thing that we do is we begin to build up one another. We share our gifts, we share our talents with one another. And when we begin to do that and we build up one another, then we begin to all reach unity in the faith. Number three, and as we do what we are created in Christ Jesus to do, we grow into the full knowledge of the Son of God. And number four, we become spiritually mature. And number five, collectively attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How about those five outcomes? Those five outcomes are in the heart of every single pastor. Matter of fact, I believe they're in the heart of every leader in the church, is to see those five outcomes, that the body begins to build itself up, that we reach unity in the faith, that we grow in the full knowledge of the Son of God, that we become spiritually mature, and that we collectively as the body of Christ become the very fullness of Jesus himself to the world. Okay, next slide. He goes on to say, so this follows those, speaking the truth in love, so we speak the truth in love to one another, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Now from him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself up in love. But here's the key. Only as each part does its work. Each part. Again, remember, no one got left out. All of us have received Christ's grace, and all of us are called for God's purposes and to share that grace through our gifts and our talents and our intelligences and our experiences and our knowledge for the benefit of one another. Okay, next slide. So here's my conclusion. Each part, without exception, each and every part is to be equipped fully in its function, released in the ministry in which God has called them, and only then will the body of Christ accomplish those five glorious outcomes, every single part. And to emphasize that a little bit more, I want to look a little bit at what the apostle writes in the 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, next slide. Now, a lot of people, as we begin to go into the scriptures we've been covering, a lot of people are thinking, but I'm really not that talented. I'm really not that gifted. They might even see themselves as kind of weak. And so let's see what the apostle says about that. Now he says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Indispensable. What does indispensable mean? We need you. Right? Something's not going to work right without you. So even the parts that seem weak are indispensable. And then the parts that we think are less honorable, actually, we need to treat them with special honor. Next slide. And the parts that are unpresentable, we think they're even unpresentable, are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. So there are some people, they're doing just fine, and they don't need all that much attention. Other people need a little bit more attention. And because every single part is so important, even the weaker parts, they seem weaker, are indispensable, we need to give special attention to everyone. Okay, next slide. So that, if we do all that, so that there will be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. You know, when we can function in true mutual interdependency, when we begin to benefit from the contribution of one another, we really do have equal concern for each other. And that's exhibited in the next slide. Now, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Because we develop this wonderful mutually interdependent relationships, if someone's suffering, we're all aware of it, and we all feel it. Okay? Now, if another part is honored, we all want to celebrate. So we want to rejoice with them. Now, and then he ends with this. He said, now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Do you see how inclusive his language is here? What the Apostle Paul is aware of is that every single believer has this unique call upon their life, that every single believer is created uniquely for good works, which is how our light shines to the rest of the world. First, to the benefit of one another here in the faith community, and then to our broader community, and then into the world. Every single one of us. And the trap we've fallen into is that we think that certain people are so specially gifted that we're going to let them carry the lion's share. Okay? And that's unbiblical. That is not the way the body of Christ functions. People, again, they've fallen into a trap of minimizing what they have to offer. And we want to bring that to an end. We want to help every single person to discover you are immensely talented. And you know what? This church is going to prove that to you in the coming weeks. You are talented, you are gifted, you have special intelligences and special experiences that when you offer that, others will benefit greatly from that. Okay, next slide. So here's kind of the final thought here. This is actually a quote by the late Dr. Don Clifton. Dr. Don Clifton is the inventor of something called Strength Finders. And Strength Finders is a wonderful tool. I have been working with it now for 17 years. I have coached over 6,000 people in Strength Finders, and I am absolutely amazed by how Strength Finders can awaken people's awareness of their talent and their strengths, and the fact that they have something that's very significant to contribute to others. And one of the things that Dr. Clifton says here, he said, now, don't try to put in what God has left out. Now, what he's talking about there, stop projecting onto other people of what you think they should be. We all do it, by the way. We all do. And he said, stop doing that. Stop that projection. And instead, focus on who they are. Draw out their innate, unique gifts and talents. Draw that out, because that's hard enough. And my concluding thought here is, an equipping ministry, a ministry really of restoration of God's unique design for each person, is all about releasing that potential in each person, helping them to do what God has uniquely designed them to do best. And so my encouragement to each one of you is to begin to realize that our God is a generous God, that He has created each one of you as a unique masterpiece. And this discovering process of exactly how that is, and no matter what age we are, it's never too late to begin to discover and embrace this wonderful gift He's given us. So I would like to end just in a very quick prayer. Lord, we thank You for what a privilege that, Lord, You called us before the foundation of the universe to be a part of Your perfect will, Your perfect purposes, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that through grace, through a revelation of the Holy Spirit for each person here to discover that You love them deeply, You have lavished them with gifts, and one of the greatest joys is the privilege of offering those gifts to others for their benefit and Your glory. We ask this in Your wonderful and glorious name. Amen.